Hello, welcome to the first episode of Daughters of Mormonism. I'm your host, Sybil. On this first podcast, I'm going to be going over a little bit of why I started this in the first place, and also a little bit of who I am, since the two stories kind of go together. First of all, I have listened to Mormon Stories and Mormon Expressions for a long time, and thank you so much to both Johns for putting those together and running them, and for all the other people who've participated in those. They've been so helpful. I found often as I listened to Mormon Expressions that I wished always to hear more from Zilpha and the other women, and that I wanted to hear a lot more about women's issues in the church, because I am a woman in the Mormon church in lots of different ways. And I felt like mostly what I was hearing were general issues of Mormonism with sometimes a few issues that had to do specifically with women. And it was somewhat frustrating for me, and I, as I woke up this morning, in my mind, I suddenly saw very clearly, well, Sybil, these podcasts are created by men, and they're addressing the issues that are important to them. If you want a podcast that's about the issues of Mormonism that have to do with women, then you need to do that podcast yourself, because you're the one who knows which issues you want to hear about. They have done their part in putting forth all these wonderful things, and now it's your turn. And so that's what I've tried to do here, and it's going to take me a little bit of time probably to figure out how all of it works. Setting up podcasting is not necessarily my forte. But I do think that I have a lot of interesting ideas that I'd like to share, and I would love to hear from those of you who also have things to say. So if you find that you have ideas that you would also like to have shared on this podcast, please, please let me know. Click on the contact link on the webpage and let me know your ideas and if you'd like to record your own podcast or if you'd like to be interviewed. I would love to participate with that. Okay, so the title of this podcast is The Promises of the Checklist, because this is kind of where I'm coming from in many ways. I was born into a large Mormon family living in the shadow of the everlasting hills, yea, verily, even in Utah Valley. And it was quite a large family, and I was the oldest girl. And because of that, I spent a lot of my childhood raising my younger brothers and sisters and trying to be a good daughter of the church. I also grew up with a tremendous amount of guilt and anxiety and depression. And not because I was clinically depressed, it was more because of things that had been done to me and the ways that the church kept promising me that I could receive peace. I don't know about you, but I heard over and over as I grew up in the church promises about if you obey the commandments, if you do what the church asks you to do, if you are faithful and read your scriptures and attend church and fulfill your callings with all your heart, might, mind, and strength, then you will be granted peace. God will give you peace and prosperity and, you know, all kinds of wonderful things. And these promises were made over and over. And as a child and a young woman, I tried so hard to do everything that they asked me to. When I was a young woman, I had already read the Book of Mormon so many times that I could quote passages at length. And I once, as a teenager, held two stake callings and two ward callings at the same time. And they were all fairly heavy-duty callings. I was trying so hard to be the righteous daughter of the church, the obedient one who then God would grant peace to. But the thing is, all those promises never came true. I put everything that I had into being a good Mormon. I read those scriptures. I attended all those meetings. I paid my tithing so faithfully. I attended the Lord's universities, and I served a mission, and I married in the temple, and I gave every last bit of myself to the church as much as I possibly could. I knew all the names of the general authorities, and I knew what their voices were. Like if I was listening to General Conference on the radio, then I could name who everyone was just by their voices, and I knew what they all looked like, and I knew what they were about, and I was ridiculously amazing at living this checklist. And I lived it for so many years of my life. And then when I was a graduate student, I had an experience where someone said something in just the right way that it sort of tipped over my nice, tidy little Mormon world. The way that it kind of felt was like I had built this magnificent castle out of sugar cubes, and it was really awesome. And I didn't realize that it was made of sugar cubes until that moment where it was as though someone had poured a giant pitcher of boiling water on top of my sugar cube castle, and it was gone. Just in an instant, it was completely gone. I could no longer wholeheartedly subscribe to everything that the church was telling me because it didn't all fit the way that it used to. Now, this was not a huge crisis of faith type thing where suddenly I was sure that the church wasn't true. It was more a crisis of realizing that I didn't know what truth was because my simplistic, trusting, innocent mode of truth had been wiped out in just one little moment, and I didn't know that it could be wiped out that quickly. I mean, I had spent all these years fortifying my testimony and serving, and at the time I was even teaching missionaries at the MTC. I was trying so hard to do all of this, and in one moment, suddenly nothing was true the way that it could be true any longer. That was the beginning. Now, about that same time, it's kind of ironic, but at about that same time, my brother was moving far away, and he had quite a library that he was trying to put somewhere. And among his library, he had many issues of Dialogue and Sunstone, and he asked me, as his booky, nerdy sister, if I would like to hold on to them for him while he was moved for several years. We didn't know how long he would be moved far away. And being booky and reedy, and also having just had my Mormon foundation shaken, I said yes, because I was interested to see what it said in these books and magazines. And so I got these couple of boxes full of Dialogue and Sunstone, and I stuck them on my bookshelves. And as the months went by, I would pull them out and read pieces of them. And a lot of it I didn't find particularly interesting because of where I was at the time. But I remember distinctly when I found the article about a gift given, a gift taken, where it talked about how women used to bless each other, and especially prior to childbirth, and they would wash and anoint each other and give basically what we would interpret today as priesthood blessings. And that was no longer an acceptable thing in the modern church at all, in so much that I had never heard about it until I read this article. And I brought it up to my mother and said, "Did you know that this had happened?" Because I was just flabbergasted. And my mother was, you know, every bit as much a solid Mormon as I had been. And so I knew that she would have the answer. And to my surprise, she said, "Well, yes, in fact, in your great-great-grandmother's journal, she talks about laying her hands on so-and-so and blessing them, and that they recovered. They were healed of whatever illness it was that they had." I was astonished. I was absolutely blown away. And I felt uneasy because I suddenly realized that there were so many things I didn't know about how this religion that I'd given so much to had been formed. And at this point, I was still single. I was a graduate student and very active in the church. I continued to read and read the scriptures tremendously. I taught a mission prep class as well as other classes. I did pretty much anything my leaders asked me to do, except for get married and have babies, because I had issues with that part. I wasn't so sure I wanted to get married and have babies. I had already raised so many of my younger brothers and sisters that this just didn't sound like what I wanted to dedicate my life to. The story of how I did eventually end up getting married is probably a story for another podcast, probably when we talk about Mormon relationships, because the primary reason I did not want to get married and have babies was because it looked like a sure way to stop a woman from ever finding who she was and from progressing, that basically she would end up giving her entire life to her children and her husband and the church and would never have any life to give to herself. And that was not something that I wanted to give. That sacrifice seemed to be too large. And there were other issues involved as well, but I pretty much avoided young men. Anyway, so as the years have passed, I found more and more that the way that the church conceptualizes women and their roles and their talents and what they can and can't do and what they can and can't say and how they relate to the divine, namely that they are daughters of a heavenly father, and that even if we do have a mother in heaven, that we do not speak of her by command of male leaders. The more that I came to understand how the church really conceptualized us, the more disturbed I became. I even did this massive research project where I went through everything that I could find that Mormon women were saying through approved channels. I went through LDS.org and read so many articles and discovered some leaders that I liked very much, that they had spunk. But there were others that when I read them, I was very disappointed and even put off by what they were saying and what they were expecting me as a woman to agree with. And I found that when I listened to General Conference, that the sing-songy voices of the well-meaning women who were called to those callings felt as though not only were the men not validating who I was, but neither were the women. That the women themselves were so caught in it that they could not even speak as a person. They could only speak as though they were speaking to young children, because they were young children themselves, as though somehow we were developmentally arrested. As I have looked over all of my issues with how I interact with Mormonism, one night I made a list. As I wrote this list down, I discovered that most of the things that appeared on my list had to do with the way that the divine feminine was not acceptable in the Mormon church. That this was disturbing to me. And even though there are so many other things that also bother me about the church, that was really the crux, and that I wanted to be able to talk about this and discuss it and hear what other women were really thinking, instead of being given blanket statements often by male leaders who would say such things as President Hinckley said on 60 Minutes, where he said in response to a question about women in the priesthood that we weren't asking for it, that there was no problem with that. A friend of mine said, well, obviously, he's never read Feminist Mormon Housewives. And I think it's true. I think that the leaders probably don't really get what's going on with us. So, I think that's where I'm going to end for now. Thank you for listening to this debut podcast. I hope that this ends up taking off and being very good. Be sure to contact me if you have ideas, or please respond in the comment section to continue the dialogue. Thanks.